Welcome to The Lifted Podcast. I'm your host, Helen Denham. I'm a confidence and business mentor for women, and my intention is to help you clear out any mental or spiritual blocks that are keeping you from leading the most happy, fulfilling, successful life that you could possibly lead. This podcast is about activating our highest potential, healing in mind, body, and spirit, and above all, holding space for our humanity as we explore the depths of what it means to be human. Hello, welcome to another episode. How we doing, fam? I'm so grateful that you're here. I've had such a beautiful day. My sisters are here. We've just been wandering the trails. We've been on the beach. We've been overheating. We've been hydrating, all the things. But it's so nice to have family here as I get closer and closer to closing out this trip. And it's bringing up so many reflection points and taking a look back on kind of the last 5 months to see what has changed. I've been in a really interesting state of transience and heavy, deep soul work, soul retrieval, and evolution. And I wonder if you all are feeling the same, especially since we are now right in the thick of our eclipse portal for like the next week and a half. When we had our full moon, just a few days ago, I really was feeling symptoms from it, like extreme fatigue. I took a literal 3-hour nap, couldn't move, comatose. And I kind of had a little bit of a headache. And then on the flip side of that full moon the next day, I just felt this huge surge of energy and excitement. Felt like I had a lot of downloads and clarity come in. So I invite you to notice where your energy might have shifted over the last few days and let yourself be with and experience anything coming up. It's such an exciting time to be in. I feel like these astrological events are kind of like weather events. Like we feel it so physically. And I always like to think about how we are, 70% plus water. And I always think about how the moon affects the tides and our menstrual cycles. And when we think of it like that, it makes a difference to think about the transits of the planets and bigger celestial bodies and thinking about how that moves us and moves our emotions and our systems as water beings at our core. So there's definitely a lot of medicine to be had here. And I find that that medicine can really come through in the stillness. So beautiful time to be honing in on your meditation practice. And this brings us into our theme for today. We're going to talk about my 10 current daily rituals for well-being. And, these have stayed pretty consistent over the last decade, I'd say. But sometimes there are little tweaks that are coming up. And some of these rituals or routines get more prominent depending on what we're working through, right? So I thought I'd give you the rundown of what a typical day looks like in my life for energetic and spiritual hygiene, if you will. And of course, keep in mind that all of us have such a unique blueprint and an energetic blueprint that we're working with. For example, I'm a 5-1 mental projector in human design. That gives me a whole different layout for how I'm productive and how I work and when my energy peaks and dips. Very different from a manifesting generator, for example. So if you're not familiar with human design, definitely go back. I've interviewed some wonderful human design experts. Amy Lee has been on, Rachel Graham has been on, Erin Claire Jones has been on. So you can scroll back, and if you're new to the human design world, definitely take a listen to those wonderful women who have been on to talk with us about that. So, sidetrack, but human design is helpful to understand how you're going to ebb and flow during the day and what kind of rituals apply to you and what makes you feel really good. I'm also a Cancer sun, Gemini moon, and I just found out that I am a Leo rising. I've been thinking I've been a Cancer rising this whole time. I don't know why, but that's some new information. I just spent the day yesterday reading all of my charts so that I could save them in my computer and my notes app so I can reference it a lot, because it's always coming up in conversation. So I did my astrocartography chart and really got a little deeper into the human design and everything. So this might be a great time for you to just take another look at your chart, see if there's anything that you've been missing or misunderstanding. It's also interesting to compare like Western astrology and Vedic astrology. You might get some really beautiful new insights there as well, and look into what resonates with you more. And it's just so comforting and so validating to feel seen by something bigger than ourselves, and to, you know, edge into that sense of mysticism. It makes life more fun, doesn't it? And it makes things make a little bit more sense. So, okay, I'll just get off that tangent here. Here we go. Here are my 10 current daily rituals that are feeling really good right now. First things first, when I wake up, I make an effort to just scan my energy, because in my brain, probably most of our brains, I immediately just start thinking. I'm thinking about the day, like what text came in, all of these things. So I make a real concerted effort to just notice where my energy is. And if you've ever been in a session with me, you know, we always open like this. We call our energy back into our body across all timelines, people, places, events. We kind of release the cords that are attached to other people and even attached to the astral realm and our dream world. We consciously call our energy back into our body. So you can do that. You know, I sometimes speak it aloud when I wake up. I say, I call all of my energy back into my body across all timelines. It returns us to a state of sovereignty and peace. And then we can really do a scan for how we're feeling, what emotions are actually ours and thoughts are actually ours. And it starts to calm the mental chatter, I find. So I'll simply, you know, just tune in and accept exactly where I'm at. Like if I wake up feeling anxious, okay, that's okay. We're going to work with that. We can move with that. If I wake up feeling really excited and happy and, you know, in alignment, beautiful, excellent. So I just, I'm really leaning into accepting everything that is as soon as it arises, so that I can meet it with love and without judgment. And then what I'll do to deepen that sense of grounding, because my brain can just be really airy, is I'll just go stand outside in the sun in mountain pose. And that just means literally standing still, just standing with good posture and standing still. And I open my palms up to receive. And I just stand there for 10 deep breaths to welcome in the day. I understand that this sounds like so new age kind of wellness influencer, and I love that for us, but this is for real. Okay. And I, of course, you know, welcome in the day with prayer and with gratitude, to just set the tone and get my thought patterns online there. And this is especially important if you've had like a late night the night before. I definitely tend to be a night owl. And I notice like if I'm up too late, like writing or watching something or reading something and I can't put it down, it will make me feel like really out of sorts in the morning. So I'm trying to work on my nighttime routine as well, or just literally going to bed earlier and in a more calm state so I wake up feeling better. But, you know, the morning prayer, the grounding just like gets us set up for that. So that's my first, you know, rising ritual. My first ritual of the day is to ground your energy, come back to your sovereignty, and get into your body and just scan, see how you're feeling, really check in with yourself and your emotional state. So second part here is, it's pretty typical that there is some anxiety that comes up for me. I'm someone who really likes to like kind of know what's coming. I like to have a plan, and I'm really working on loosening my grip around that as well and being a little bit more fluid. That's why I love to travel, because it gets me into more of a state of like freedom and dancing with the energies instead of having such a tight grip. So one thing that I do to get more in that state of freedom and autonomy and looseness and like flow is CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. I absolutely love this. I do it with my own therapist, but you can do this on your own as well. And it's basically, CBT is the same thing as the work that Byron Katie teaches. And it has a really beautiful framework. If you go to my website, I have a whole blog post on CBT and the framework that you can do. And so I do like a little worksheet either in my notes app, or I'll like write it down in my journal to just identify a stressful thought that I'm having, question how true and real it is, and then tell myself, you know, a more vital peaceful story and really get down to the root cause of why that stressful thought might be coming up and reach a point of feeling soothed and calm. It really helps me to work that out actively, because if I don't work it out in real time, if I don't identify that stressful thought and follow it all the way down and move it out, I'll ruminate, or it will be in my like unconscious mind for the day, and I'll have this kind of dull anxiety in the background. So I really try to get that out of the way in the morning, just like tackle what's coming up. And I have so much fun doing that. This is why I love being a mentor as well. Like, it's just so much fun to dive into our stories and our personalities and our identities. And it's so fun because we realize that we have sovereignty in that way. And we have free will. We have a choice with how we want to feel going forward. And we have a choice to rewrite our stories. So it's amazing to just put yourself in the director's seat every morning and basically write the script for your day and for your life. With intention. And at the same time, it's always just so helpful to remember that we're dancing and collaborating with the universe. So we can plan as much as we want, but of course we're going to have these unexpected twists and turns and amazing lessons coming in that might feel frustrating or scary, but they're in our path for a reason always. But control what you can control and then dance with what comes up and understand that like that's exactly what you need to be experiencing as well. So CBT really, really helps with that. The third thing I do is I check in with my loved ones. So I usually call my sister every morning, and now she's here, so I get to see her. Or I'll check in with my mom or some close friends or, you know, whatever. But I think having that touch point of, you know, heart coherence and openness and compassion with somebody who understands you the first thing in the morning or in an early part of your day really sets us up for feeling protected and connected and safe. I was just thinking about how we never do anything alone. We're always being helped by one another. Even when we go to check out at the grocery store, like you're buying food that has been picked by a farmer, has been grown by the sun and nature and carefully, you know, molded and created for you by so many people and by such divine design. And, you know, someone's helping you check out and pack your bags. And, you know, you might be walking home and someone lets you pass on the sidewalk. It's like we're part of this living and breathing like amoeba of this human species. And I think we get lost in thinking that we're so alone in life, but there is help always all around us at all times. So I really try to recognize that in the most simple way, which is just connecting with someone I love at the beginning of the day, to remember that none of us are alone and that we're always supporting each other, even if it feels like we're not. We are constantly surrounded by support. Number four is a little feng shui, okay? And by that, I just mean cleaning my space. I always make sure that I leave my home feeling really organized and clean so that when I come back, it feels like a breath of fresh air. And on that note, I always open up every window and I burn incense and I smoke out the room. There's like an Italian word for this, I feel like. I don't know what the word is, but they actually refer to this, the Europeans, airing out a space to cleanse and reset the energy in a space. And you can tell, you know, the energy shifts, that kind of stagnant, heavier air moves out and you get this fresh, alive feeling coming into your space. And that can really change everything. So open the windows, use incense, hit the refresh button, do a little tidying up. That just makes me feel really confident and like I'm taking care of myself as well. And it's a sign of self-respect. And then number five, I do that with my body. You know, I get in the mirror, I do a little pep talk, and I just love doing skincare and a little makeup, do a little hair, put on an outfit that feels cute so that I can actually embody my highest self. And while I do this, I'm usually saying affirmations and looking directly in my eyes as I tell myself I love myself and I support myself and I've got my back. I know it sounds a little corny, but I don't think it does to you guys. You know the vibes, but just a reminder to really keep up with these practices. It's a constant state of returning to love over and over again. So that mirror work is so helpful in the morning and having those affirmations. And I always have like affirmations recorded in my voice notes that are just 5 minutes long for whatever I really want to call in and magnetize so that I can be actively working with those. And it just feels great to leave the house just feeling put together and I don't know, that actually makes me feel a sense of freedom and authenticity instead of the opposite. It just feels empowering. Number six is moving my body. And that means either just putting on some music as I'm getting ready to head out and just doing a little dance, and even just jumping, like not even necessarily dancing, but just jumping, like doing jumping jacks or just getting my body like enlivened and awake and online. Or I'll take a long walk, definitely on the beach here, and I'll talk into my voice notes. If there's anything that I really wanted to unpack a little bit more from my CBT practice or something like that, I'll talk into my voice notes, which I mention a lot. And that's just a beautiful way to decompress. But I always try to get the body online with some, you know, just some jumping jacks or some moving or something like that, you know? Number seven during the day as a ritual is just do something challenging, something that really feels hard. And I think this is where our hobbies really come in and why it's so important to have hobbies, a place where we're working on ourselves that has nothing to do with our, you know, appearance or our jobs or our personal relationships, just hobbies that are just for you, just for the pleasure of life, the joie de vivre, and something that will challenge you. So I keep thinking about when I turned 30, I really said to myself, like, I really want to figure out how to be an athlete this year and whatever that means. I want my hobbies to be surrounding sports because I just felt like there was an unlocking to be had there. So my greatest challenges have been looking like, honestly, just surfing or Qigong or those disciplines that just have everything to do with the pleasure of a challenge. And on that note, you know, besides hobbies, I think it's just important to challenge ourselves and to get into that zone of discomfort, because when you're uncomfortable, that's exactly when you're growing. And it's so wonderful to look back on the day and be like, that's where I grew today. That's how I grew. And I did the hard thing. And you can be really proud of yourself for that. And that's where confidence and self-esteem is really built. And that's really why in my mentorship program, even though it's really spiritually grounded, even though we're doing all of this quantum healing work through somatics and emotional freedom technique and all of this beautiful transformational work, I think it's extremely important to marry it with action and accountability and appropriate goal setting so that you can look back and see really tangible results from that. So I think it's just such a balance. It's kind of like the tree of life, you know, open up the crown, connect to spirit, and also keep your roots down deep so that your root is grounded and you are secure like a tree, you're unwavering. And I think there's just equally that logical approach and that spiritual approach that is deeply needed to feel really good about ourselves and to feel confident on our path forward and to feel that state of peace. And that's really where freedom is built. I think freedom can flow through structure. Honestly, it makes me think of money, how money needs structure to flow through, channels to flow through. It's like why we set up, you know, sales pages and websites and all these funnels for clients to come to us. If you have a small business, it's like we're setting up structures for freedom, abundance, and prosperity to flow through. So that's what I think about when I think of what freedom really means. It's the freedom to have choices and options because you've set up structures in your life. And it leads us closer to our most authentic, empowered self to be in that space. So that's my tangent on doing something challenging. Yeah. Number eight is always trying to further my education, either through reading or watching a documentary. I'm much more interested in reading bodies of research, to be honest, recently. I've been trying to check out, you know, when I'm working with somebody or hiring somebody or tuning into somebody else's podcast or something, I'm not always interested in somebody's credentials, but you know, I am, if I'm going to read a body of research, for sure, I'm much more curious now about where that information is coming from. What makes that person qualified to talk about that? Did they go through a life experience that actually taught them that through like the gauntlet of experience? Or did they research something for a really long time? What's the empirical evidence behind something? And if it's more spiritually based, what has their personal life transformation looked like? So I'm working on just making sure that the input I'm getting from what I'm reading, watching, and ingesting through media has some grounds to it, has some grounds and has some backing and has some evidence to back it up. Because I think in this world right now, there are so many life coaches and guides. And I think especially in 2020, the industry just boomed. I had no idea it was happening until now. I look back on it and I was like, oh my gosh, there was just a wave of this happening. So I think it's important to just be always using discernment to know, you know, do I trust this person? What is their background? What have they been through? You know, that puts them in a position to speak on something. So yeah, furthering your education on a daily basis and making sure you really trust your resources. Okay, and then after dinner, when I'm starting to wind down, I will do my red light therapy mask for about 10 to 20 minutes, and I'll have to report back to you on how effective I think it is. I think it's going great, but for everyday use, I think I've got to give it a couple months, so I'll report back. And while I do that, I do a meditation. So either I'll listen to a hypnosis that I've recorded for myself. And by the way, you guys, if you ever want a custom hypnosis track, you can purchase one of those from me on my website. Or I will listen to Joe Dispenza heart opening meditation. I love going between different styles of meditation. Or I will just do a mantra meditation and just get into that place of stillness and repetition. So that gives me a good 10 to 20 minute habit stacking moment there. And then finally, winding down for the night, I will always register my wins. So in my notes app, I just write down all the wins from the day. It's a great memory practice to even reflect on what you did during the day. And it just makes you realize like how well you're doing. I think we just spend so much time being really kind of hard on ourselves sometimes and wanting to always be pushing the needle and just trying to change things all the time. But it's really rewarding to look back on the day and be like, this is what I did well. This is what I did well. So I usually try to get down like 10 wins from the day. And that might just be like, I had enough water today, or I was kind to myself today, or I did a favor for a stranger, or you know, anything. And then I will also do what I would like to improve on. I'll journal that out too in my notes app, and what I'm looking forward to as well. So that's a great way to kind of wrap up the day and keep your focus forward and present on the present future, if you will. And that's what's going on in my world, my friends. Those are my daily rituals for well-being. And it's interesting because these are kind of passive practices. I never think about it. I never think about, oh, I need to do this right now, or this, or this, or this. It's just a lifestyle. It just becomes automatic after you've implemented this stuff for so long and it feels so good. And you've noticed that your life has just been a quantum leap over the last few years with these practices. I'm sure you guys know that feeling. It starts to become automatic. So hopefully this gave you an opportunity to have a checkpoint with yourself. Notice what you might want to integrate more of so that you experience more of that freedom and that state of peace on a daily basis. Let me know what your biggest takeaways are, as always. I'd love to hear from you so much. And I'm always here for you. My books are open for mentorship at the moment. I've made some changes to the offering. So if you're curious, you can just head over to my website. And I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.